Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast, also known as the Bonnie Tyler Fan Club. Does anybody actually get that reference?
Nope.
I didn't think anyone did.
It's okay.
You know the song like Total you. Eclipse of the Heart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Could you sing a note? Sing a note.
What? Total? No, I can't sing. I'm your host, Kyle, not a singer or songwriter. Joining me tonight, we got Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga and head of quality control, Joel MC. Tonight, we're going to be reviewing quarter one of 2024. Take a look at our growth and areas that we've identified that we can improve upon. After that, we'll sum up our past week of the good, bad, and ugly before wrapping up with some new bold predictions. Before we check in on the ongoing results, let's get all that self-promotional stuff out of the way first. Baba, what you got, buddy?
Well, I have, I think we still have a Prop Alpha discount running. I don't know. I need to find out if people have actually used it.
I checked it a week or two ago, and I think it was still working.
Yeah, but highly recommend. Big fan. A lot of the stuff that you'll see during morning prep that is kind of shortened up or like abbreviated, without having to draw a bunch of lines and like do a bunch of work. Super helpful, even if you're not into like indicators and tools of that sort. But definitely check it out. And then I highlighted this before, but like the back testing stuff be huge. Also, like this upcoming week, I haven't really talked about this with everybody, but I think we're going to do an AMA.
I love it.
So if you're in the Discord one night this upcoming week, we'll post it like Sunday or Monday, what day we'll be doing it. And then we'll just do, this will be just like an AMA. I'll have some stuff to talk about, but it'll be a chance for people just to shoot questions.
Is this anything in particular or any topics or just whatever?
This can be just whatever. We have still a list of questions that weren't finished from the first one that we can pick up with, and we'll start there. And then I have some things that I can talk about. And then if anybody that joins in wants to, you know, throw some questions or thoughts or whatever, be great.
I love it, man. The last one you guys did was amazing. It's been too long. I've been wanting to get another one going.
It's been too long. It has been. Stuff.
Life gets in the way, right?
A little bit.
What about you, Joel? You got anything you want to spotlight? Any good books, podcasts?
No. Oh, the audiobook Blink.
Oh, you
recommended
did?
Recommended by you. What'd you think? I got about an hour left. It's actually pretty good. It's quite good.
Yeah. I love that story about the Marine general and the way he completely destroyed that war game. And they ended up having to like handicap him, reset the whole thing. It's that poor guy.
Exactly. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's Malcolm Gladwell. I'll put a link in the description if anybody wants to check that one out. Highly recommend that book. As far as the show news goes, next week we got an awesome recording that Cleo and I did with Anthony Crudelli. It's just such an amazing conversation. Can't wait to publish that one. Baba, you are asking for some teasers. I might have prepared a clip for you.
Let's go.
All right. Let me flip over here. See if this thing will work.
you're like, okay, I'm willing to lose $500 right now, I'm willing to lose $1,000, whatever the number is. And then you lose it and you're like, okay, at that moment, you're like, well, I actually would be willing to lose 1500 because, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, this makes sense for me to do. And then you lose 1500 and you're like, okay, I really was okay with losing 2000 and that's it. Right?
Micro negotiations.
Right. Yep. You know, you're making those negotiations as you go by. Right. And the next thing you know, you do that and it happens. Right. I mean, and I'm not saying that this is what I'm doing right now, but it's kind of the principle. What happens behind it is that, you know, you come in, you wait, and then you allocate your risks to it. And then it's not working. And you're like, you know what, this is really what I want. And then you're negotiating with yourself to risk a little bit more. And we all do it. And then ultimately it happens. And then you're like, okay, now I'm even more pissed because if I would have just taken the loss that I knew initially I wanted, because that's what fell into right. my risk parameters. And now I'm outside that. And already now the only thing I could think about is that stupid ass decision I made. And also the only thing I could think about is how do I make that back?
Man, I want to listen to the whole thing.
It was such a topical thing for me too. I made like a page of notes as we're just talking about stuff. He's such a good guy too, man. So genuine. Yeah, if you're not checking out his podcast, man, I highly recommend that too. If you have any questions or suggestions for future guests, or if you just want to yell at a stranger on the internet, you can do that via Twitter at @FinancialInept1. Join the Discord, slide into our DMs. You can visit bandoftraderspodcast.com to browse the guest directory and check out all the deals and discounts we've collected over the years. Last week's predictions. You guys remember what we did?
What y'all said? It was like the gap.
Sunday gap. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I lost. You won.
I don't remember the specifics. Yeah, you and Flary were both saying down. You had some very specific levels. Flary yeah. won the boldness. I think.
Yeah,
I was.
He did. I didn't think I was going to gap that hard, but you had it. You took the cake, so kudos.
I've been doing pretty good with predictions yeah. lately, it seems like. But I also, it wasn't very bold either. I think I did get called out for that.
Yeah, well, so. It happens. Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
I got a bold one for today. All wrong? No, I think I was right, Flary. I said upper half of the hourly candle. It opened up right inside of that.
Yeah,
it was close, but it was in there.
He did all wrong, Flary. Come on.
Don't take this from me, man. That's all I got.
He needs it.
All right. Should we move on and do the first topic? Or I guess the only topic since... this one I assume is going to probably take most of our time here. So this was your idea, Baba, and we talked about it a little bit when we were planning last week, so we never got a chance to get to this one. But you wanted to talk about just like quarter one in review kind of thing, right? You want to explain that?
Yeah, sure. So I know that like we evaluate our trading like day to day. You know, you look at the P&L at the end of a day and you're like, oh, you know, good day, bad day. And I would say the temptation is to quantify a good day as the day you made money and a bad day as the day you lost money, when in reality you could have a bad day that made money and you could have a good day that lost money.
Yes,
because the application of the information that you know over the long haul will be good for you doesn't always result in immediate, like, you know, financial gain.
Yeah,
right. So, but then if you take that out a notch, like, you know, you look at your stuff at the end of a week, that's like a little healthier way to look at it. For me, that's a good pace. Like, I'm always like thinking, what is this, how's this week shaping up? But you know, get to the end of a month. But then I really think like a quarter is a really good amount of time to evaluate trends for a trader. A good time to evaluate processes. That's enough of a sample size to trim things out of your trading to incorporate things back in. It's just a good checkpoint 4 times a year to kind of change the oil. And I don't think a lot of people do that.
No, I wish you would have said something earlier.
Sorry. It's kind of a thing for me. I've mentioned it before. I've mentioned it before multiple times, but never like, hey guys, this is something everyone should do. Just like one of the ways that I came to decide that Mondays and Fridays were days that I wasn't going to trade heavy was just looking at a quarter's worth of data, you know, and realizing like, man, those just like they're not really working for me. So that presented me with two opportunities. I mean, this was like a year ago. The two opportunities were to like retool something on those days to trade differently or to incorporate something that lent itself to that type of whatever was different about those days, price action or volatility or whatever, compacted mm-hmm. ranges, whatever it might have been. Or the simplest thing, and for me that was the choice, was just I don't need Mondays and Fridays. I could take them out of my trading and be fine. So let's just trade them lighter. Mm-hmm. Let's just do that for a quarter and then see. And then that ended up being like a pattern or like a type for me that like just Mondays and Fridays. And I don't really lean on that now as heavy, like, but I still trade them lighter. Not as light as I used to, but I still trade them, you know, lighter. So
I'm curious, did the change actually make any difference? Like looking back at your Monday and Friday results now?
Yeah, for sure. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like, are they green now as opposed to being red, or is it?
Well, it wasn't less? Necessarily that all. So it's not just as simple as red, green.
Okay.
That was part of it, but like largest losing days, mm-hmm. so just outsized losing days came on Mondays and Fridays for almost the entirety of that quarter I was looking at last year, or it would have been 2 years ago now. And then it was consistency too, like just. Overall, if you just look at the consistency of the other days, and then you look at there was a month where of all the days I traded, which was most of them, there was two red days, and one of them was a Friday and one of them was a Monday, you know, like ruined a streak of a month. That was last year during my best, like that was my best month that I've ever mm-hmm. had was last year in March or April, May, somewhere in there. So yeah, just even in the month where I was performing at a really high level, still those days crept in and I was trading them smaller. So those losses didn't really matter as much. So yeah, I mean, it did make a difference. And I think it also almost gave me permission to just like chill on those days a little bit, like just let it unfold and, you know, not try to prove anything.
Yeah.
So that was probably the biggest thing, was the mental kind of ease into a week and ease out of a week. And I like the vibes of that a lot.
So I'm just looking back at, because, you know, I changed my journaling kind of mm-hmm. quite substantially at the beginning of this year on a lot of input from you guys. And I'm just looking back now and I see that I've got about 2 months worth of data. So
yeah,
it probably is about time to go through and try to analyze that.
Yeah, dude, that would be awesome.
But there's been a lot of things that have stuck out just from the journaling aspect of it. And actually, I can point to specifically Wednesday as being like a really kind of key aha moment or epiphany moment for myself.
This Wednesday?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Had some good struggles actually on Wednesday. And there was a point where I caught myself like negotiating with I stopped doing what I was doing. I went and took like a shower and like was getting stuff done for lunch. And then like normally I like to reflect in the shower after trading. I know that's kind of like the backwards way of doing things.
That is the opposite of what I do, by the way.
It works for me. But I'm glad it works for you. But as I was in there kind of like thinking about what happened, I was like, man, I've been playing around with bonds after a 2-year flipper and trading around in sim. And then I thought like, oh, let's just flip this thing live and see if the sim results are actually in line with, you know, what I was seeing, or the live results are in line with what I was seeing in sim. And they are not. Absolutely not. I was getting some very favorable fills in sim mode. So I played around with that. And then like, you know, you lose a few ticks and you start to realize like, okay, this isn't as easy as I thought it was. But then you're like, I'll just make it back. It's only a couple ticks. I can just throw it. Trade on here and then close it out for like +3 or whatever and get it back, and that one fails, and then try it again, and then that one fails, and try it. Next thing you know, you're down 17 ticks, and then you're flipping over to NQ and you're trading that, trying to get some of that back. And then like the account was coming up for renewal, it was completely fresh, I hadn't touched it at all, and I was justifying it in my head why it was okay to tank that. And then I caught myself doing that, and I thought, you know, that's not okay. It's not okay to justify this. Justifying this is just going to make the patterns get repeated. It's not cool to beat yourself up over something too, but there's like a fine line, I think, between.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Like recognizing that you did something wrong, but also not like just making yourself feel like complete and utter shit over it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's cool.
So that was, I caught myself doing that before, but that was the first time like I really noticed what I was doing. I was rationalizing a poor decision, which would just enable me to make it again in the future.
Yeah.
I think there's comes a point where you don't have to beat yourself up about it. You can just say stop
mm-hmm.
and follow that instruction, that can be the end of it. You know where to go when you leave there. You don't have to, oh, you did it again. You don't have to make a big deal of it. You just stop and go back to where you should have been.
One thing I do like to keep track of, though, is when those days happen, is like how big was the loss on those days? And I can say, like, on a trend as a whole, like, you know, it went from below an account to max drawdown to, you know, whatever my personal drawdown limit is. Like on the whole, it's trending in the right direction. Those losses are getting smaller on those types of days. And I think that's kind of the only thing we can really hope for, right? Just keep working on it, keep trying to narrow them, because they're going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think the neat thing is, one, like, the just awareness of that pattern, or mm-hmm. like that is that's a well-worn path.
Yeah.
That's easy to just get on and walk down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even sometimes comfortable, probably.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
At least as it's happening, because it's really familiar. It doesn't matter. It's going to renew, blah, blah, blah. But I the thing that you mentioned, and I think the thing, like, for a listener to take away would be, and I've even said this about, like, eval accounts, and then maybe have set a poor example by, I almost screenshotted something today and sent to you guys. You know, I have those $5 accounts or whatever that won. And so, like, I passed the one or the few that were, they were linked or whatever. And then there was a couple that weren't, cause I was like, well, if I've been trading those on Mondays and Fridays, cause that's mm-hmm. like, you know, kind of fun, or at least sometimes. Yep. And then I kind of forget about them. And then, today I had a screenshot queued up to send to specifically to tag, J-Mac. I was going to just tag him and just be like, you know, one and done, baby. But it was just 5 lots short, no stop, $1,500 take profit. So I will say, like, I do that quite often with that, like I did that today with that one. Played out well, by the way. But especially if you're, like, in that striving and you're really working on that improvement, and that is, like, a real hang up, like, even in a sim account, even on one micro, even on a eval that's about to renew, like, the less number of times you walk down that path of, like, oh, well, whatever happens, happens, because mm-hmm. that's a struggle, the fewer times that you have that mentality or think that, the better. And so I've said, like, even on those type of accounts, just, it's just not a good habit to even play around with continuing.
Right. No, yeah. That's gotta be something, I think, once you have your process in place, and then you can look for those shortcuts.
Well, yeah, it's just like, I mean, if you have, like, a game theory, idea with those accounts, then yeah,
exactly, Bear.
Yeah, Bear, 100%. But, you know, it's just because that it's like, this, so right at the edge of, like, trading well is, like, very loose stone, and, like, whatever our bad habits are, like, we just, it's so easy just to, like, lose a little footing and then just slide right off.
Yeah.
And every time you do that, then you lose a little bit of ground. That's the way I think about it anyways. I try to think about it. Like, how many times are you going to continue to just slide back all the way down, crawl all the way back up? And then, you know, when we talking to people in trader evals and stuff, we hear this all the time. And it's like, don't reinforce that behavior at all in any form or fashion. That also goes for winning trades.
Yeah.
So not just when you're losing. But when you're in a winning trade and you think, oh, this will be the one that'll make up for those 3 mistakes last week, I'll just hold this forever. And then you don't pay yourself at all. That same type of behavior. So anyways, and a lot of times, to loop this all back around, you notice those things in the trend of a larger sack of data.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's right. So back to the whole idea of looking at a quarter and what have we learned. So yeah, but Kyle, I mean, you've come, like, a million miles. I'm gonna say this, and it might sound mean, but I think you'll understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
So, like, when did we start hanging out and stuff? Like 6 or 7 months ago?
No, longer than that.
It's gotta be longer than that, right?
Okay, like 10 months ago?
Almost a year now, I think.
Okay, a year ago. We'll call it a year. Like a year ago?
You don't remember our anniversary?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I can't find my wedding ring either.
That's a great way to start this.
I'm just kidding.
This might sound mean, and I don't remember when I met you, but...
Yeah, no.
What's your name again?
No, I just... I bet Joel would agree with this. So I don't do this. I don't take trades off of anyone else's idea except my own, and the same for all of you guys. It's funny, we had a moment today in chat where I said something and you said something and I was like, well, don't change what you're doing because of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You know, you stick to you and I'll stick to me. And it's good awareness. We were on the same side of a trade, I think, or I was about to get in and you were closing a short or whatever. And I think we all ended up being long and a good time was had by all. But like a year ago, I would have never, like whatever you said about what you were doing, I would have never gave it a second thought. Like in the nicest way possible.
No, that is. That's like, actually pretty awesome.
I would have never thought, I don't care. Especially, I don't care.
What you had to say?
In the nicest way possible. Okay?
If he's short, I'm buying.
No, I wouldn't do that. I would not do that. Not like that. I'm just saying I wouldn't even like consider for a moment what Kyle's positioning was or what he was seeing or thinking. Never would. Mm-hmm. And like now, like when we're trading and we're on together, like while you're not always forward or like you're not calling stuff out, like that's not how our room is. But when I hear of you, like when you're in a position or whatever, like they make sense to me. When I look at them, I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Like it makes sense. And also sometimes I'm like, man, that's really, I mean, not sometimes, like a lot of times, like, yeah, damn, that's a really good read, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think you had the chops and awareness. I don't think you maybe had like the confidence or the belief to just click the button when you saw what you needed to. And I also think you learned to weed out some stuff that and to only look in the right places or starting to look in the right places.
That's the ongoing struggle.
And so, dude, I mean that as kindly as possible. Like you've come a long ways in the last year, but in the last quarter, even like, I feel like this year,
I'll agree.
I feel like you've come a long ways.
I appreciate that a lot.
I heard it today too. Whenever, in the room and Baba said, oh, that was the entry. And then you hear, Purdue kicks on. I caught it, Kyle. I'm in. You know, like,
yeah.
And they rode that sucker. That was,
yeah. You know? That one, I remember that one. And I said that, like, after what, like 60 points up, I was like, Banks, we really should be a part of this. Yeah. What are we doing? I mean, we still ended up getting to ride the Rockets, so it's fine. Yeah, but, yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, yes, Joel, I echo that completely.
So it's funny that you say the weeding some of the stuff out. And that's actually been what the major struggle is, or the thing that the journal is starting to highlight. And I'll probably talk a little bit more about it, the good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the cost of the emotional trades that's really starting to stand out since I started journaling. And
God, yeah, that's so good.
I need to update my journal so I can keep track of which ones are emotional, which ones are processed, because I think it'd be very helpful for my confidence as far as like not acting on those emotional instincts. If I can actually pull up a sheet and say, look, this is costing me, you know, X amount of my profits for the week or the month or the year.
Yeah.
These trades right here, if I don't take these, then everything else looks really fucking good.
Yeah. And then the longer you take those trades that look really good,
mm-hmm.
the more comfortable you become with just sitting around, waiting for them to show up or waiting for whatever, you know, scenario needs to play out.
Yeah.
I think that's just really good awareness. And that's a really good practice too, to go back and look through that.
And the last thing I wanted to say about as far as like noticing things, and it was another thing that came from, I think, that Wednesday journaling, was just recognizing like where some of the issues are coming from. And I think it all stems from, this is kind of an interesting thing. Like you learn so much stuff over the course of like 6 months, a month, 3 months, a year, like stuff can start creeping into what you're doing and not even realize it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'd done a very good job of updating like my process or my setups or the paper plans of like how I intend to approach the markets. So I don't have something to go back and look to now. And I feel like I've gotten away from a lot of the things I was doing that was successful before and let too much other stuff kind of creep in. And I need to reset and really sit down. And that's the plan for this weekend, is to go through and really define like what I'm actually wanting to see from the markets.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that echoes some of my thoughts on mm-hmm. the subject matter tonight too. That's been a It's been a big part of it.
For yourself or for someone else?
For me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something about guarding your process and intentionally letting stuff in versus osmosis.
Dang it. We should have had Flurry on here. He's really good at talking about that.
He's just sitting there. He's just sitting there right now.
I know. What? He's screaming at the keyboard. Protect it. Protect it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For sure.
There he is.
Oh, yeah.
Joel, what about you, man? You took some time off, actually.
My first quarter was actually only 2 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I took all of March off, and it was actually quite awesome. Trading is always going to be, it can never be better than third place in my life. Family's number one, and work comes number two, and trading will be number three. And we had an adjustment in our family that required more attention. It's not a big deal. Not a bad deal. It's a big deal. Jen got a job.
That's right. Yeah.
After 9 years of being a mom, full-time mom, she's gone back to work. And so we had to make an adjustment in our house. And so I took trading off just because I couldn't give it the attention it needed. And I didn't want to take away from the family stuff. And so it was good though. Gave me a break from trading, gave me an opportunity to sort of cleanse that other stuff coming in.
Yeah.
And let me just go back to what I actually want to do and give it some purpose and some thought versus just keep trying things until something sticks. Actually make a plan of what I want to do. And so that's helped a lot too.
Joel, I love that you took that time away because it's such a hard thing to do sometimes. Oh, man. I feel like we need it.
The first week, I was like an addict in the corner, just curled up in a ball.
I was wondering.
This is terrible. What an idea. It was really hard. And actually, I would encourage other people to do it too. I think you need to do it. If you have that feeling of being an addict in the corner, then you probably need it more than you know.
That's a good point. So when you decided to come back, was the decision partly because you didn't feel the need to come back? Did that factor in at all, or is it just
truth be told, the trading stuff, I have quite a ways to go to be where I want to be for trading and being comfortable and having that process and having it guarded, not letting other people influence it. So that part is going to take some work, and most of it's going to be quiet work. Just me.
I think you need to review your M periods.
I have been the last six M periods I have been profitable, which is huge.
Overall or every one of them?
No, all of them. Anywhere
like
trading actual trading NQ, not MNQ, but trading NQ, my smallest one was like 470 and my largest is like 3200.
Damn. Yeah, just keep doing that, buddy.
Exactly. I know. But so I think last week I paid close attention to what I was doing. And this week, I think I figured out what I was doing. And that's what I've been trying to do all along. But like you say, I let other stuff in. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, he does this. Oh, he does that. Oh, I got to try this. No, they say don't try that. And so if I can just focus on that myself quietly without any external input until I'll let input come when it's time. It's not time yet. I don't have foundation.
It's tough for some, like when I see something that like really makes sense to me, I want to like immediately DM you and be like, you need to look at this. This should help
me. I know,
you.
Right?
Because it helped me, but it's not necessarily going to be something that speaks to you. So
exactly.
That could be detrimental to you. Like we could be doing it to ourselves almost.
I think whenever you share something, or I share something, we kind of get, hey, this works for me. You should check this out. But we should just be sharing our experience instead of telling someone else to try it. We should be, hey, man, look what I found, and this thing works for me. You know, right. Hey, that's good for you. Versus,
I like that.
Hey, I found this. You should check it out. Why? I don't use volume profile.
I know, right? Partly it's because you kind of want somebody else to look at it with you. No, I know what you're saying.
before I took a step back, I've been working on actually developing my own sort of scalping strategy in the morning and working with Rankos, and I'm still going back to that. I'm going to hone it a little bit and try and make it actually profitable over a larger sample size. But that's kind of where I'm at. And so this quarter was good, growing for me.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Actually, that's the first strategy I've built and named and tested. It was one of the 999 ways to not build a light bulb. but that's okay,
somewhere,
because there's 998 more ways to try. So between building my own strategy, and then on top of that, being able to consciously and happily step back and come back when I'm ready has been very renewing. And so I'm in a good spot.
And they also loaded up with some Top Step X accounts too.
I'm loaded up with some Top Step X accounts.
Shout out Top Step X when it works.
I know those $4.50.
$4.50. This is a dice roll.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't mind it.
I'm okay with that. At $4.50, that doesn't even cover market data.
I know, right?
But yeah, between having those accounts, and I've got quite a base layer of Notion for journals and tracking, and so
shout out Purdue for that too, for showing us how that thing works.
Yeah, Notion is a very powerful tool.
Yeah. Joel, you mentioned the strategy that you developed being one of the 999 ways that doesn't work, but I'll tell you what, man, all the ones that I've put paper to and developed still have a place. Like, I still find uses for them, even if I'm not using them all the time or in all situations. It's kind of funny. Yeah. Some of the ones that I developed have turned into entries for setups, as opposed to just being a setup on its own.
Right. And I think the one that I developed will still work as what it should be intended for, as adding versus an entry.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Mm-hmm. If I've got the right entry criteria and get in at the right spot, then I can still use that to add.
Yeah. And that's when it gets exciting, when you start finding new uses for the thing that you spent a bunch of time on. It's funny, but it seems like the work is almost never wasted.
Right. Mm-hmm. It can be, but in most cases it's not if it's intentional work.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Baba, what about you, man? Anything else that you, this is your topic, man.
Well, yeah. So I took a small break in the first quarter as well.
Thanks for telling us.
Well, I was gone.
Just
I was gone during the week. What do you mean? We took a week off. Remember?
I know.
I told y'all
it'll be Friday before we recorded.
Yeah, you know.
I forgot.
5 days notice. I'll give you 5 days to notice. Look,
there's a lot of stuff I have to keep up with, guys. Okay, and sometimes stuff falls through the cracks. All right, so my bad.
All good.
And this is funny that you mentioned this, Joel. That was the longest break from the screens I've had in 3.5 years, maybe four.
Wow. Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I need at least a couple days every quarter. You almost need to take a week off once every 3 months. Oh, no.
Stretch it out for a few years. When you take a week off, it feels really nice. Well, and two, I think the time, so I think as I reflect on Q1, it's riddled with frustration and excitement as well. And that little break came at a really good time mentally, because my wheels, there's probably steam coming out of my ears every day when I, my wheels have turned so much, and I don't want to sound whatever, but to go from what I was accomplishing prior, just to be honest, and then to step into feeling vulnerable again, dude, was the worst feeling in the world. And I know that sounds arrogant on the one hand, right? Everyone's vulnerable, but I'm just saying,
it's another level when you're putting yourself out there.
None of that matters. The podcast doesn't matter. Trading live in the room is I don't even think about that half the time. I literally don't, it never crosses my mind. Maybe a year ago, it would have been a thing, but just the change in life stage, and honestly, realize some of the unrealized pressure unrealistic. Like there was pressure I was conjuring up that wasn't actually needed. There was weight I was carrying every day that was like, it wasn't real. Like nothing really, nothing material had changed about the market. Nothing material had changed about my brain. Like it didn't fall out of my ear. Systematically or like work wise, there had been a few things I think that got a little loose around the edges, due to kind of the over identification with some of the external circumstances, you know? So like you're not as tuned up as let's say like as an athlete, you know, theoretically, although it's not athletes, but like things aren't quite as tuned up during this training camp, you know, because other things taking attention and really mentally, kind of trying to take a toll. And so, man, I think this quarter was so huge for my progress. Like, because you don't want challenges all the time, but when you go through a challenge, you either, you learn to accommodate that and you grow through it. And then like things are different, or you just crumble, you know, it's like you just crumble and you shrink away and you found your limit.
That's that. Yeah. That's that, fight. Or what is that? Fight, flight. What's the third, fourth? The fourth one is fold.
I really don't know. I've never heard that before.
I only knew there was two, fight or flight.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. Yeah, there's actually four that they discovered, and like the fourth one is fold. And like we listened to this on a podcast, so the guy was explaining like the whole thing, like what it means. And I don't know if we talked about this in an episode before or not, but like they had studied mice and like they can actually trigger this fold reflex. And like the best example they had was like, if you get thrown overboard in the ocean, like what are you going to do? You're just going to curl into a ball, conserve energy, and hope your situation changes. And that's like a survival mechanism. Like your body recognizes that the situation is completely hopeless. The only thing you can do is curl up, conserve resources, and hope something changes. And I think that's very easy to fall into in trading if you're not careful, if you're not on guard for it. Like sometimes it can feel like there is no way out and it's too easy to withdraw on yourself and get stuck in that fold.
Yeah.
Response.
Yeah. And like
freeze. That's it. Thanks, Joel.
Serious. And like, you know, I'd never done this under these circumstances before. Like it's just completely new.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the old circumstances, super comfortable, super got it, super like, you know, felt like.
It was like you said, the stakes weren't as high.
Yeah. The stakes weren't as high, but also felt like I had an S on my chest, you know, like.
Or a goat
and,
hat.
And I do still have the goat hat, dude. I tell you this, you mentioned the goat hat. Like I felt there were days where I would like put this hat on and be like,
yeah,
no,
oh, no.
Like during Q1, I put this hat on and be like, maybe at one point you had that, you could be wearing that, but you probably ought to take that off.
Oh, wow.
Imposter like syndrome? there was some tough days. Like there was some tough days in there, but here, so for clarity's sake too, though, there were some really good days in there too.
Yeah.
And how I'm defining like struggle and difficulty and whatever is I'm comparing me to me, right? It's nothing to do with anyone else. I'm looking at last year, pick a few quarters and then look at what you know, looking preemptively at what the first quarter of this year was shaping up, I was like, man, you fell off at the end of last year, and then you haven't really hit that stride. And so that was just a thing when we went away in April, in March, mm-hmm. first week of March or whatever. That was like a pinnacle moment, because there was about 3 weeks leading up to that where I was having a lot of conversations with people, and also like really just trying to sharpen the tools back up, you know, sharpen myself back up, sharpen like my process. I think I mentioned that to you guys, like leaning into the things that I have all that make the most sense to me, mm-hmm. and anything that isn't part of that, like letting that just shed that, because some things were a little fuzzy that didn't need to be a part of it, you know? So forget that. Like, we can work on that another time. Like, this is not time to be playing games, you know? Mm-hmm. And like last year, honestly, like I would be comfortable to trade anything at any point. Like, just be like, I'll be fine. Like, it'll be fine. I know what I'm doing. So we'll play with this. We'll play with that, whatever. Like, it was a game. Like, it was a game to, all right, I don't care what happens with this trade. I'm just trying to get the biggest runner I can get. You know, right. Like that was like a game. It was fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just fun and funny, but I was in a place where that was like, it was fine. Yeah. Like I was cool with that and it was good. And anyways, I'm rambling, but you get the idea. So I'll say this, like if you found yourself in a place of like struggle or difficulty with your trading, and you have in the past had measures of success, you know, I think a huge thing is to go back. If you journal and you write down trade entries and trade ideas and trade plans and how you thought and felt, you go back and read that stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, that's one thing for me that I did in the last stretch as well. It's like going back and remembering like,
right. What it felt like.
Like when you were good. Like, like when, and it's not like I've been just a full on train wreck or anything. But
no, but the difference between, you know, 90% you and 100% you can be quite significant, especially in
a
game as extended margins as this has.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, man. And so I'll leave you with like two more pieces of this puzzle, because I don't want to talk a whole bunch more about this, because I feel like some like pages have turned over the last month. Like my attitude coming to the desk has just been way better in the last month. My internal dialogue, perspective, attitude, results, just all of it. And I think I can track a lot of it back to one conversation. So I'm gonna tell you all this, and like hopefully it doesn't ruin all of our credibility or whatever. But my wife and I, we sit on the front porch a lot in rocking chairs and just talk in the evenings, especially as the weather gets better like it is now. And
you drink iced tea out of a mason jar?
You mean like a jar like this?
Yep.
Awful thin iced tea.
And Hey. So what I had anticipated, I anticipated going from what I was able to produce to probably like twice that, because I'm thinking my time is now fully available. I'm not distracted. Like, this is the main deal, blah, blah, blah. My expectations were just like, oh man, like finally unleash me, you know? And here I go. Right. And then you hit the ground like face first and like pick your teeth up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh boy, those used to be in my mouth. And, you know, and I mean, again, to like, I don't want to just like be so negative. And like, again, not that I've just been like a negative, like, oh, everything's just been downhill and all I've done is lost money. I'm not saying that, but just haven't performed the standard. So I'm sitting out there. I said to my wife, I was like, hey, I just be like really honest. I feel like I'm kind of dropping the ball for you guys. Like, I just don't feel like I have performed to the level that I expected. Mm-hmm. And I know that probably for y'all as well. And, I just told her straight up, dude, and like, don't freak out, cause it was fine. But I was like, if you don't believe in what I'm doing, then like, will you tell me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause if you don't believe in what I'm doing, then like, I'm a, just shut it all down. I'll take a break for like a year or 6 months.
Right.
And I'll do something else and we'll come back. But if you're not down, then I'm out. And she was like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "Well, I just feel like I've really kind of not, I expected to go from like here to like here. And I've gone like from here to like here and then like here and then here and then here and then here and then here." And she's like, for those of you that are listening to audio, I was moving my hand up and down. And she looked at me from her rocking chair on the other side of the porch, and she said, "I've never doubted you for a minute."
Oh, that's fucking amazing.
It's wild how they have way more faith in us than we do.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
What's wild is it was all in your head. You're in here thinking, you're building this story in your mind that like, oh, my family's disappointed in what I'm doing. They, you know, are they even on board with this anymore?
And yeah.
Like, no, they're all still with you 100%.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When she said that, I was like, "Wait, what?" And she was like, "Yeah." It's like, "What are you?" I mean, she didn't say like, "What are you talking about?" But she was just like, "Yeah, I've never doubted you for a second." She's like, "This is all an adjustment. Like, I think it's just going to take a little bit of time to be comfortable with, you know, the implications of what you're doing now versus what they were before. But, you know, just continue to do what you know. I mean, obviously, you know what to do." And I was like,
"Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, let's go." And that was really like a page turn moment for Q1. The other thing to add to that was like just on the practical technical side, like I mentioned, just like peeling things back. Like if you look at my chart book now, there's like four little or like five little shortcut charts. That's it. There was like 12 down there at one point, you know? And if I'm in a trade, I'm like looking at this one, looking at that one, looking at this one. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I've never been that type of like seeking more data, seeking more information kind of thing. So like just to a minimum, scaled it back. And that's the other thing I would say is that if you've experienced a measure of success and you find yourself in kind of a weird spot or maybe not achieving what you had achieved before, if you've looked at day type trends and you know that like it's not tied to a specific day of the week or, you know, all of that stuff, then like try to, what I did is like, let's just simplify things to like,
yeah,
basic. Like, what do you love the most? Like what Joel was talking about, like what makes sense to you? Like what speaks to you? What's clear to you? What's easy to you? And like, what makes it fun for you, you know? And like, for me, yeah, like, it's been super fun lately. Super fun, mm-hmm, super enjoyable. And I remember now that like, this is why I love, yeah, trading, because most of the days, sure, there's going to be like annoyances and whatever, but like most of the days you get to reap the reward of your work, your mental capital, the expense of time that you've spent. You get to put that into place, and like, it is actually common for that to go in a positive value. Like, you know, that's not the atypical thing. Like that's what you expect, and and the market is not like looking to, you know, go get you, you know, like you just go in there and put on the table what you know to do. And so, simplify things was another thing for Q1. Simplify and specify, like get as specific as I could be at where I want to pull the trigger and what qualifies and doesn't qualify. Like, just take it down, 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 and be okay with, and this kind of goes to Kyle's point too, like, I'm so fine with taking a stop. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I think at one point I was like, you know, I think I'd gotten to that feeling of like, oh, I just don't want to take another stop.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I don't want to take a stop. Oh, I'm going to, you know, and it's like, and I don't know, something about like, just there was a point in time where I was like, oh, these are like fun coupons. Like, I'm going to spend 100 to see what happens. I'm going to spend 200 to see what happens here. Oh, I'll spend 300 to see what happens here, 'cause this could be really fun. And so just remembering what those times were like and what was fun about it. I mean, that trading, man, it should not be like this, like going to the dentist or like going to have, you know, surgery or something. Like it really should be fun. If you have something you're comfortable with and confident in, and you can apply it daily, then like you should have a good time doing it. And so
it's not going to always be fun, but you should on the balance.
It's not going to always, every day is not going to be just, oh, let's all have fun. But like over the whole, the thought should be that you get the opportunity to come make money in a really unique way, apply a certain skill set and a certain type of resources that you've honed. And then you're rewarded for that, both either in defense, meaning minimal losses, because you're recognizing the market conditions aren't there for you, so you pay a small fee that day, or in profit. But either way, it's applying what you know, mm-hmm. and you get rewarded for it. And so if you've had stretches of success, they probably felt that way. And so remembering that and leaning into that and reading about what were you writing during that time? What were you thinking mindset. During that time? What trades were you taking that time? Yeah, man, like that reconnects you with that side that's like, oh, yeah, man, it's a freaking blast. Now, it would have pissed me off to no end, like literally like a month and a half ago, that trade we were in today, mm-hmm. the long we were in today, when like I think it ended up being like a 50 point trade total. Actually, it was more than that because I accidentally took – I was in like 8 contracts at one point by accident. Remember that trade? I got to adjust a couple things on some of the charts I've got pulled up here. I ended up like – I was like, oh, boy, I did not mean to do that. In retrospect, that would have been a really happy mistake. Yes. But because it never came back and touched any of that. But I scaled those off, and then we had 2 left, and it was like – I don't know, 35 points on one. And then the other, the stop went to like 25. And I was like, yeah, I'm totally happy to finish Friday. Just get the market handed me another 500 bucks. And then we're just hanging out for a little while. And so we were both in that trade. We both stopped out right in the same range. And then that was the low of the next like 90 minutes to 2 hours or whatever. And so it's like, fine. And I laughed about it all day. Like I looked back, I was like, that's like, that's hilarious. I'm
still a little salty about it. I had to close my charts up.
I know. And I think that was smart to do. But my point is, like a month ago, I would have been so, so frustrated by that. And how silly is that? Guys, think about this. On a trade that you make like because of the being in like 6 or 8 or whatever it was, those were scaled at like 6 points each. So that was like 36 points, then just call it 30 points on the other, and then 25 on the other. So whatever all that ends up being, almost 100 points on an RTH session. Yeah. And you got stopped, just on that, not counting news trading before, because I was having a lot of fun with that dip buy in the NFP stuff. So, but just talking about 9:30 to whatever, that batch of points, and that was bad stop placement and kind of a mistake. And you leave that with that much green. Like, nothing to be, I mean, sure, we want to get better, but that's laughable. And it's a great day.
Absolutely.
And I was reviewing that trade. I mean, I made special notes of it. Like, in the moment, I was perfectly happy getting paid there, ending my day at a set P&L that I had, being able to go into Friday feeling happy about it, and then hindsight kicked in. It was all hindsight that pissed me off, and that's
the thing for me on that was that stop placement in reviewing that. If someone sent me that trade and said, "What would you do?" or like, "What do you think about this trade?" or "What do you think about where you did?" for me and what I was looking at for the entry, and since I'd already scaled, you know, 6 contracts by accident, and then the other one. That really should have been the permission to go to just to break even or commission cost coverage, and then let it go to those next set of swing highs at least, which is what we were talking about. We went 40 points above those, but that to me was like, okay, but it was a Friday and I'm trying to get out of here and go do some other stuff. I got a 4-year-old that wants to play. So today I was like, I'm fine with it.
All right. Well, that did not disappoint. We're running at 55 minutes already. We still got to do good, bad, and ugly and bold predictions. So let's get in. Let's do these.
Quickly.
Here a decent time. All right. Good, bad, and ugly. The good, bad, ugly of the week. Whatever you guys want to share. Any lessons you learned?
I'll go
anything
first.
You want to highlight?
Quick.
Take her away.
My good is I came back when I was ready to come back from my break.
I love
not
that.
Because I felt the urge to, but because I decided I was ready. I don't have a bad because it didn't really do nothing bad, and don't have an ugly because it didn't do nothing bad.
Also, let's also highlight your M period performance today. It was pretty freaking solid too. Yeah,
solid second place.
Yeah. Well, 114 points in 30 minutes is pretty damn good. How's the Murphy challenge going?
Yeah, so you can go ahead, Kyle, if you want. I can't do pull-ups. Okay, I got the rest of it. I can run like a bugger. I can do push-ups. I can do squats. But man, pull-ups are killing me.
All right, my good. I have a few that I had to write down on here. First time I managed to, sorry to shit on your second place here, but I managed to get first place on a third in a row M period.
Kyle. Now,
I'm going to caveat that with the fact that Baba and Banks did not participate in the previous two. So, yeah, join in because we need some more competitors if I'm winning this thing every week.
And there's prizes up for grabs too. I mean, if you win it,
we've got stuff we can give away.
If you win it, if you win it and you're not on our side of the server, you get the next month free on the Vanta side. So if you're listening to podcasts and you're like, oh, I don't know, there's $35 to go hang out with those nerds. Well, come win a Imperial challenge and you get it for free. Hang out with these nerds for the whole month.
And you know, sometimes we get other stuff to give away too.
That's true. That's true.
Let's see some of the other stuff I wrote down on here. Oh, here's a good one. Journaled every day, even after a tough Wednesday. So if you remember my last week, bad and ugly, actually it was my ugly, was not journaling some rough days that I had in that moment and losing data. So even after that Wednesday that I talked about, I still sat down and made it a point to journal my emotions and my thoughts of that day. And I'm really glad I did, because it kind of helps you unload it. Helps you, when you put it to paper, it just gets it out of your head and you can stop thinking about it almost.
I'm proud of you for that. Good job.
Thank you, man. And the other one was I had a 200 point runner on Tuesday.
Yo, is that your biggest runner ever?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude. It was actually like 240, I think.
Oh my God.
The crazy thing was it still had another 200 points to run.
Like that was a prolific move down.
No, I was thinking about 300. I was like, man, this might actually have the legs to challenge Baba's record.
And that would have been the day to break the record if I had a really good day, so I was not interested in that whole thing. But
you know what I was really proud of though with that is like the way I actually hit that target was not by just leaving stop at break even and walking away. Like I was watching it interact with all of my zones that I had through there, and we just kept blowing through it.
Well, yeah, and it's easy to hold a runner when I don't think it made a 30-second swing high.
It didn't do anything.
In 30 minutes.
When it finally started to bounce at my air is just above my take profit, or my target is maybe a little bit lower. I think I ended up leaving it, but I moved my stop. I was like, you know what, let's lock in 100 points. Like, we're about 40 away from this one. Let's just let it try to go for it, but we're going to at least get paid 100 on this thing. I'm not giving up the whole damn thing.
I love it. Because
you know when the markets move like that, nothing's safe.
No.
Let's see, uglies. And I already mentioned this, I won't spend too much time on it, but it was the cost of the emotional trades, like I'd mentioned earlier. Had several days that would have been amazing this week that if those emotional trades were not allowed to take part. And you know, we talked about like how our trading has changed over the past 3 months, and one thing is that I've been less afraid to pull the trigger, but that's also kind of double-edged, and it's allowed me to pull the trigger more times when I don't need to be necessarily. So I got to find the happy balance between where I was before and where I am now. And so that's where I think the focus for the next 3 months is going to be on for me.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Great goal.
All right, Baba. What you got for us, buddy?
Good. This is the best week I've had in 2024.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Nice.
So that was cool. Felt great. Probably partly why I feel as in the last few weeks have been good, but this week especially good. I mean, guys, we had these ranges were outrageous. I mean, it was just, and so that was good. And that was the good.
John says the return of Arval has been nice.
Yeah, dude, for real. And then, the bad was, I would say the bad is that even though it was a great week and I'm really happy and feel like we have turned some pages and, then, you know, the last 4 weeks have kind of been really good progress to kind of shake off the negative vibes. There was plenty of trades closed, not a ton, but there were a few trades closed ahead of the setup target that would have just been real icing on the cake. I'm indifferent about it because the week was great and because even those days were great. I'm indifferent as to like, there's not like any work to go do on that or anything. It's just like, when you are feeling fortunate for what you are taking away each day, like you, and you're like, man, like this is like, oh man, this is thanks guys. Like then yeah. Like, you know, just, I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's good. Like, so, but there could be some fine tuning on that or whatever, but that was bad because again, to the system and process, there was entries, there was targets, and some of them were front ran pretty substantially, which could have made for even better week. The ugly would be that, which I said a minute ago, like I didn't participate in that big move down because I'd already had a great day. And that's true. But I did, as we moved down, there was like two spots. I was like, man, if we trade below that, I'm going to squint really hard for a long entry. But I'm going to allocate this many points, and it was this many points. But I did take two stabs in two really key spots on that move down, which I think it ugly because like I look back at it, it's just like, ugh. And I had no idea of the news that dropped. Like I knew it had to be news driven, which I felt would be an overreaction, which I anticipated that a couple, like I had two key spots. I thought if there's a chance of us going, it's going to be here, and I'll give it a squirt. But yeah, man, I mean, it was the move below. It was the move
like 180 probably.
What day? Yeah, it was. If we just peak below that,
there was a 200
spot. 230. 230.
I think I had it at 225, but yeah.
230 and three quarter. If we just peak below 230, or as soon as we peak below 230 and three quarter, is a major, what I consider a major swing low there. And then the other major swing low was 201 and three quarter. Those two spots, I thought, if we sweep those, or as we trade through those, there's a real opportunity. So I mean, not in a bad way. I intentionally overly justified, like, all right, let's pull the trigger. Let's just see. I mean, because there's been plenty of times where like a major daily swing low like that.
You know what's funny is I think that was the spot where I covered that runner.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a major spot. That's what I figured. You know? So, but yeah, good, bad, and ugly. And then, like, can I just throw some props to my son who's 10 years old?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's 10 years old and has started over the last probably 6 months to take an interest in trading just as a thing and ask a lot of questions. And so he's traded two Imperial challenges. I think he won one of them, right?
Yep. He did.
He won one of them. And I am not telling him what to do, guys. Okay. So that's I have made one fatherly mention, which I just drew his attention to a line on the chart. And then today, even today, he was net positive. I think he traded for...
finished with like 60 plus points.
Yeah, 60. I think it was 65, 66 points in the final 30 minutes. And I watched him like... struggle through a little drawdown situation. Yeah. And so what was really cool, and I know this is kind of off the thing, but what was really cool is at the end of it, when we were done and got off with you guys, I was like, hey, can you tell me what you were thinking right here? Like, explain to me what you were thinking. He was like, well, I thought this, but this. And so we just like, I got a chance to like coach him up a little bit. And I was like, hey, in the future, when you're doing these, when you get into a situation like that and this starts to happen and you feel that like that indecision, just don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Like when you get in that squeeze moment, don't do anything. And I was like, cause how comfortable were you when this happened? He was like, oh yeah, I wanted to buy right there. And I was like, exactly. Wait for those moments. And then even if that one of those moments happens and you get in and then it starts to not look exactly how you wanted it, just get out. Mm-hmm. Like it's okay. And I think building in that quick, like making the market jump through your hoop, and your hoop now needs to be reasonable for the market to actually, like, it needs to be something you have precedence for. But, it was just cool to spend those 10 minutes or so, like with him in that. And I don't know, it's just really neat. Like,
can I actually make a request?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you do these sessions with your son, I think you need to record these, man, even if it's just for the community, but I would love to watch and hear like what a 10-year-old thinks of the markets. Like how I want to hear the thought process of someone who doesn't have all the baggage that we do.
Yeah, it's right. It is pretty. It's shocking. It's pretty simple. But today, for the first time, I think I saw him like wanting or trying to force something a little bit because he was in that competition with y'all and he could hear everybody talking and he's like all juiced up. He's done plenty of replays, you know, where he sits over here and trades for like an hour.
And done solid on that too.
Oh, I've seen some of the screenshots. Yeah. Now, yeah. And so he asked me again today, like, why will you not give me my own account? And I was like, dude, you're 10 years old, first of all. I'm probably going to give him one of the, I'm going to let him trade one of the says it'll be tricky. Probably when summer gets here, I might just keep one of those until then and let
him.
I'm going
to bleep the part there just in case they listen.
Oh yeah. I'll let him trade an account. Well, you can use this part. I'm going to probably let him trade an account, a small account of his own just for fun, but it'll be tricky with school. Like he's only home to trade like the last hour and a half ish of the market. But I might let him do it. I mean, it'll be fun for him. He'll learn. He'll blow up or not. But that might be something cool to report on.
He gets to practice pre-market, and just let him trade during Joel's hours, and they can trade together.
Yeah. Wake him up 30 minutes early. Let him get it grind on.
All right. Good stuff, man. Let's do this bold prediction. Let's get everybody out the door. How does that sound?
Perfect.
Let's do it.
All right. This one was, Baba, this is your suggestion, right?
What is it?
Boldly predict the number of evals that get passed in our Discord this week.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. It'll be fun.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
That was my prediction.
Oh, that was yours?
That was my suggestion.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Thank you, Joel. That was an awesome idea.
Yeah, I fully agree. I agreed so much with Joel's idea. I thought it was my own.
I thought it was your own because you agreed so much. All right. So this is going to require people to help out, though. We're going to need, if you're in our Discord and you pass an EVA, we need to know. So that way we can keep track of this. Who wants to start here?
If you're not in the Discord, then go join it so that we can track it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's free. There's a free side, dude. And all of our videos, like I'm still releasing them. I didn't release any the last week or so, but anything we release is as far as video content is on the free side. So the only thing behind the wall is just, you know, trading live with us, talking through pre-market stuff, some of that kind of stuff, the more personal side. Like if you're just looking for like what we think and whatever, like it's all out there for
it's
free.
It's all there. Yep.
So there are 100 and,
there's more than that.
There's 230 something folks total. Is that right?
Let me see. So
I think it's somewhere around there.
234.
Yeah, 234. So there's 234. I would imagine of those. I'm not going to tell you my math. So I'm going
to. Yeah, keep the math to yourself, but give us the number.
Okay. Well, I got to do it in my head first. So I think we could have 15 past evals.
15?
15. I think it's totally doable because I'm going to pass 5. No, I'm just kidding.
I was gonna say, if you guys open up like 12 accounts each, you and Banks, and I'm gonna call shenanigans.
No, I'm not. We're not counting me and Banks and Flary. He doesn't count, and anyone else.
No, we can count everybody. You're in the community.
Okay.
Everybody.
All right.
Just you can't open any new ones.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
Also, we don't know how many accounts you guys have, so
that's true.
A bit of a disadvantage.
I bet they don't have very many evals because they just get them and pass them and be done with it.
I don't have two. I have two evals.
Okay. Joel, what's your thoughts here? What are you going for?
My prediction is 17.
Oh, you're just going to one up 16?
No, 17. It was 17 whenever I was going to guess 11 or 17, but 11's not very bold.
No.
Yeah.
All right. How about this? This is going to be bold. I don't know what the number is already, but I'm going to go specifically with Banks's wife. And I think that she's going to pass at least 3 this week. I don't know how many he's already passed already. So this might be a complete mistake here, but
I'm going to tell you what, he will pass an eval in like, I mean, two days, whatever the minimum is. I feel like whenever he goes to get one, he just does it.
I know.
Just to like, does it, makes the money, takes it out. Like, He is just ruining it's like a, those people.
Like a goddamn robot.
And it's a little like, and I'm like, how many contracts? Like, well, to be honest, I was trading 7 contracts. I'm like, my God, no wonder you pass them so fast. But he's also like, he's pretty sharpshooter. Yeah. So, I mean, so yeah. So we got, what is your number?
I'm going 3 by Banks's wife. I'm going with just the one person. I think she had 5 total. So I don't know how many of those have passed. I think at least 2 of them have passed.
And he's not allowed to open new ones. He's allowed to open new ones, but he's not allowed to count the new ones.
Yes.
Yeah. So 3, 17, your number was 17 and mine was 15. Yep. Is that right? Or 16, 15. So 15, 17, 3. Yeah. All right. We'll write that down.
I got it written down. All right. And then anyone out there listening, if you pass one, you better let us know.
Yeah, please do.
The easiest way is just DM Kyle your certificate.
Yeah, no, you don't have to do it. Sure. Purdue's probably good for 5 anyway.
That's my hope.
That's true. I feel like J-Mag, man. I feel like J-Mag too, passes like 3 a week.
He's like, God damn. All right, folks. I think that's going to do it for today's episode. I'd like to say thank you to Baba and Joel for joining us tonight. Everybody listening, you stuck around to the end. Remember to show our panelists some love. Click on those links in the show notes. Remember to check out the combined Discord where you can trade with Bob every Friday morning on the free side, heckle us live on these recordings, or even take down the Imperium champ. We'll be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully as impressive as an earthquake on the East Coast. But until then, hammer that 5-star rating like Goolsby's onto the mic and have a great week. I think I flubbed that. Like Goolsby, like I can't say that fucking name. All right, just leave it.
Sorry, Laura. Yeah. Sorry, Laura.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.